Good evening and welcome to another edition of Haunted Orange County's Paranormal Podcast. My name is Ernie Alonzo, and along with my host Ramiro Ramirez of NBC Universal's From Beyond, I want to welcome you to tonight's show. Tonight we have a special guest, a friend of ours, Mr. Austin Porter of sci-fi series Fact or Faked. Austin, welcome to the show.
Ernie and Ramiro, thank you guys so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
It's our honor, man.
Awesome to have you. Well, we want to start off the show by telling the viewers or the listeners a little bit about Fact or Faked and what the premise of the show is for those who are not familiar. And there's actually a new season starting up on April the 17th. So if they haven't had a chance to catch the show, they'll be able to watch from all new episodes. So tell us a little bit about the show's premise.
All right, well, how to describe it? Well, Fact or Faked by the media has been described as if Mythbusters and Ghost Hunters were to have a baby.
Okay.
That's basically where we are. We take videos of anything paranormal. We analyze them. We find out if they could be basically fact or faked. Now, if we think they are fact, we'll head out to the location where the video was shot. We'll interview the witness, kind of get a first-hand account of exactly what happened, and we'll try to recreate the video. We'll do things like see what a natural explanation could be, see if it could possibly be misidentification, see if it could have been hoaxed, kind of show the viewers how you could recreate these videos, and then if we can't figure out an answer, and sometimes even if we can, if it's a great location, we'll actually do an investigation and see if we can come up with any paranormal activity or evidence of that.
Okay. Now, what is the criteria for something to be considered, you know, when you guys are in the situation, is that what you call it?
In the situation room.
And you're kind of reviewing all the videos. What is the criteria for the video to get into that queue of videos that you guys show at the beginning?
You know, to break it down in its most simplistic form, I would say there's three basic general criteria. One, there has to be a video. You have to have some sort of video physical proof. Okay. Sometimes we've done photos, but we really like videos. Two, there has to be a witness. There has to be somebody that we can actually go visit and talk to so we can get their firsthand account. And three, it has to be testable. It has to be something that we can get out there, get our hands dirty, and see if we can actually recreate the video.
Now, there's actually some situations that I've seen, you know, you guys in the situation room, and then it ends up something that you guys are going to actually go and test, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to test this one. But then when you actually start doing it, it's pretty cool, some of the stuff that you go through and the lengths that you guys go through to prove some of this stuff fact or faked.
Yeah, you know, what's surprising about that is we get to use such a creative standpoint from that, and we try to hit different angles as far as, like I said, sometimes we say, what's the most simple answer? And a lot of times, that's exactly what it is, mm-hmm. The most simple answer. We try to say what could be a possible mistaken identity. We try to see what could be how it could have been hoaxed. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, any possible answer. But I guess what I was trying to say is, what's so surprising to me is we found that the viewers actually, instead of seeing the big explosions, instead of seeing the more elaborate hoaxes, you know, mm-hmm. that include all this technical extravaganza, they really like to see some of the most simplistic, basic stuff. Because I feel like that's what they can actually do, feeling tangible, like they can reach it and maybe go do it themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in saying that, that being said, what is probably one of the episodes that you guys filmed where you just felt like, wow, you guys really went out of your way and as far as equipment and expense to reproduce something? I'm sure, I know there's a lot of them because I've seen most of the episodes.
You know what? I'm going to throw a little teaser out. We did one coming out for this season mm-hmm. that we literally, I felt like we were rebuilding a little city.
Wow.
Or a highway. Mm-hmm. It was the extent at which we went, the machines we had to use, we were in the air, we were on the ground, we were building up, building sideways. It was so extreme that I've never done anything like it. I literally felt like I was standing in the middle of LA and we were out in the middle of nowhere.
Wow. Wow. Now, another question I have regarding this setup. Now, you guys obviously have a tech crew that goes out and does a lot of this, right? Describe a little bit to us what each cast member's job is on the show and how that affects the setup for what you guys are doing.
You know, that breaks it down at the very beginning as far as kind of who brought the clip. Usually if you bring the clip, you have the right to go on it.
Okay.
Starting off there. And then it's kind of who they feel we can really use. If it's something a little more physical, maybe something more cryptid based, a lot of times I'll go. If it's something where we need, you know, kind of a good FBI analysis from a crime standpoint, or even if we need possibly to replicate a monster that is yeah. extremely large, we might bring Ben because of his height.
Yeah.
You know, anything that's photography-based, we have Lanisha, of course. Bill is just the man. You know, anything we need him for, his science background is actually insane. He's actually getting a PhD right now, I believe, in theoretical science.
Yeah, he's amazing. I had a chance to go to an event of his this past weekend over at the Glen Tavern Inn and just to listen to some of his theories and it just puts a whole different slide on how I think of the paranormal and just, you know, what else it could be besides, you know, the things that we usually think about it for.
Absolutely. Bill and I have had quite a few talks about that, and the guy can just blow your mind open every time. Every time you think you got him, he'll just pull something new. I'll tell you what, that man is a library of knowledge.
Yeah, amazing. Now you just said a minute ago, it depends if they're the ones that bring the video that they'll usually get to go on. So the cast members are actually out there finding these videos. It's not just for TV. You guys are actually going online, finding videos, leads, and bringing them on. And those are your actual videos that you're presenting most of the time.
Well, one of the things that we have to realize is that yes, we are all out trying to find clips. We are all out searching, trying to find the next best, greatest thing out there. Mm-hmm. But what we have to realize is there's not some magic chest that just you open, take it out of, and get it. You know what I mean? There's only a limited supply. We're even going into websites internationally based that are all over the world, you know, instead of just searching the basic ones here, talking to people, outreaching. We have online, if you go to our website, where you can actually send video clips in because we need clips. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes down to it, is our show will go on as long as there's video clips to analyze.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are out there trying to find our own clips, but we absolutely have a team of people that are out there researching as well because, like we said, there's only a limited supply.
Now, what percentage of the locations are starting to be overseas?
You know, we have a good basis for overseas. We're getting actually ready to take off in about 4 days, 5 days, I believe. We're taking off, and I'm going to be overseas for about 3 weeks in two different locations. So it's going to be a blast. And, you know, that's three different cases. Plus, we've got some of the other team going on. So there's five or six out of, you know, possible 12 episodes. So it's getting more.
So you must be going to the same place Ben's going.
I might be.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
he shared with you guys you're going to be taking off. And so that sounds like it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting trip.
It's going to be a good one. We actually have a guest appearance the show. I can't tell you who it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to say that.
Uh-oh.
So if anybody repeats that, you didn't hear it from me, even though this is recorded. Oops.
Nice. I'm sure it'll be fine. But a lot of exciting locations, though. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about your investigating background and how you even got started with Factor Fake. Now, was this something that a group of you were doing before, or how did the whole group come together?
Ooh, big breakdown. Me personally, going back from a very young age, whole family kind of in tune with things, had some things happen to me that I actually didn't like. I didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't want it to be a part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I strayed away from it very hard. It wasn't until I really got older. And Ben and I became friends, and we started doing some investigations together. We had a team that was going around doing stuff. We actually found that they were looking for a show. We kind of started pitching some ideas. We all went down there. We started coming up with all these concepts, throwing out new ideas. The concept of Factor Fake really started to come together, kind of thinking, well, you know, there's so many paranormal shows out there. How are we going to do something different?
Yeah.
We don't want to go out and just do investigations. What can we do differently? Well, we did the show reel. Because how it went was we went in doing the casting, all that kind of stuff for it. What's the concept and ideas? Mm-hmm. They brought us in. We had, I believe, seven of our friends that were all down there in the group that were like, yeah, they wanted an opportunity to do this. They said, okay, we love you. Right off the bat, they replaced half of them. They kept, well, on the episode that you saw, it was myself, Larry, and Ben. Mm-hmm. Those were the only three left out of the seven.
Yeah.
They brought Bill in initially. They brought two other girls. And we did a show reel. We did the show reel. We actually did a little test on there using a laser,
mm-hmm.
and they liked it. So we ended up doing the second thing again, and we kind of started thinking, you know, this replication thing is something that no one else is doing.
Yeah,
that's really where we should focus on and put a thriving, because I feel like that's a different niche. Well, those two girls didn't do that great as far as mm-hmm. ratings went. They were absolute sweethearts, amazing people, but I guess they felt the need to replace them, so we brought in, and that's when we had Jael and Shilon, mm-hmm. and Jael has been with us ever since, and she's amazing. She launched with us for 6 episodes, and she started off with the pilot when we actually launched the pilot.
Okay.
And from then, as you know, they replaced Larry, brought in Devin, got rid of Shilan, and Shilan was replaced. She's going doing other great things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Larry got married and wanted out, and now we have Lanisha and Devin, and they are a blast to work with.
So you guys pretty set, you think, for now on your on your casting?
You know, absolutely. People a lot of times fail to understand that, you know, we're our real people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people just think you're this character.
Yeah.
You know, or they just think that's everything you do and that you don't have a life outside. Well, it's like Larry, you know, he got married and wanted to spend more time doing other stuff, didn't like being away because we travel a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I live in a hotel over half the year.
Yeah.
Going out doing these things, that's a stressful life. So you never really know what's going to happen.
Nice.
But everyone loves working with each other. We have such a tight group. Everyone is really good friends, which is what the best part about it. If you're not just traveling with cast members or teammates, you're traveling with friends.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Now, does Ben or yourself or, you know, have pretty much, I would say, creative control of the show still? Or is that kind of gone set different, you know, kind of gotten away from what you guys initially started doing with your showreel?
Well, here's the thing. We still have creative standpoint as far as angles we want to take, things we'd like to express, experiments we'd like to do. Very involved in that sense. Where we don't have a lot of control is after we shoot.
Okay.
Okay, because we're, you know, you have a 16 or 18 minute time slot that you have to fill the air with, and that's for your half of the hour slot for a full case.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have hundreds of hours of footage.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. So when they come down to the editors trying to produce a story that really is going to be good for TV and ratings and whatnot, that's going to entertain people to kind of show exactly what happened, but in a very abridged, abbreviated form,
mm-hmm.
You can lose a lot of things.
Yeah.
So for a while, we felt like, hey, they weren't really portraying any of our personality. They weren't portraying us, and they didn't really manipulate it to look however, make us look however you want, you know, because you have so many different emotions and reactions, say so many different things in a, with hundreds of hours of footage that they can take small snips and bits. And that's where we really lose a lot of the creative standpoint because they really do follow a pattern that's, that they feel that has worked.
Okay. Now let's talk about a little bit about the paranormal as far as ghosts. From that standpoint, and because of course we're Haunted Orange and we focus on the ghost part of the paranormal. Now, had you had been investigating before, you said, now what was your extent of paranormal investigating as, you know, we know it in mainstream as far as going out and doing investigations at homes or locations? What's the extent of your involvement in that?
You know, the standard basic investigations that you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, going out with your basic K2 meters and tri-field meters and going out doing your electronic voice phenomenon sessions and trying to see what EVPs you can get and walking around. Where we really lacked was in, it wasn't a group that we were really publicizing. It was, we were all involved in it because we enjoyed it. It was a hobby. It wasn't like we were out in a group trying to really take it seriously. We didn't have matching t-shirts or publicize or have a website or anything like that. We just all enjoyed the paranormal, so we'd go out and see what we could grab. We'd do friends' houses. We'd do specific locations. I think the best EVP Ben and I ever got was before we even started this show, and that was at the Queen Mary. And we went there, and that was insane. I mean, we literally had 3 or 4 different EVPs where you had full sentences.
Wow.
Multi-word sentence. We're talking Class A EVPs here, where you could hear the different dialects on the people.
Oh,
like
wow.
Women with English accents saying, unlock this door, leave me alone.
Wow.
Okay, when you get that,
yeah.
you go, okay, okay, I'm sold. You're not getting the, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Response, which is an intelligent response. Absolutely, it's great. But when you hear a woman's accent,
oh,
when
yeah.
you're locked in a room by yourself, that will blow your mind every time. Every time.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, definitely the Queen Mary. There's, you know, I always hear great stories about investigations there. We're actually looking on actually doing an event there, hopefully sometime at the end of the year or the beginning of 2013. So
I recommend if you guys do it, I recommend stay in the Queen Mary. Try to sleep there if you can.
Actually, you know what? My company that I work for, we used to do our annual director's retreats there.
Okay.
And we would stay over one night. They actually have a list of haunted rooms that they'll give you if you ask for it. And it has a short sentence about what has been experienced in the room and the room number. So if it's available, they'll allow you to, you know, check in that room. And unfortunately for me, it seems like I'm a ghost repellent, because whenever I go into a so-called haunted location, nothing ever seems to happen to me. But yeah, definitely, you know, if we do an investigation and an event there, I want to encourage people to spend the night there, because it's definitely an awesome location.
We had the opportunity to stay there, and during the night investigation, you know, we got kind of scared because it's pitch black, and all of a sudden you see these beady lies, and you don't realize there's raccoons everywhere.
Oh, really?
Okay, raccoons all of a sudden just start creeping up, and
on the
you're
ship.
Walking around. Absolutely.
Wow.
And in a couple of different pool areas and where they believe the vortex to be, we're sitting there, and it's all tiled, and all of a sudden you hear just... You start hearing this, you're like, okay, what is that? But ended up being raccoons. But I did, when I went to sleep that night, mm-hmm. all the doors were shut. Well, I wake up, and I'm like, what just happened? And I look up, and the closet door was open. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe it was just getting colder. Wood particles, you know,
yeah,
changing, and it allows the gaps to kind of compress a little bit, and it opened.
Yeah.
So I shut it. I go lay back down, and I'm like, nah, that's what it is. I'm tripping myself
yeah.
out because it's the Queen Mary. Okay,
yeah.
okay. So I lay back down trying to go back to sleep, and then all of a sudden the bathroom door opens on me. I'm just going, okay. It's got to be the temperature thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go, and I was like, I will go to shut it, and I'm like, no, you know, I'm just going to leave it open. I'm going to leave it open. So I go to bed. I woke up a couple hours later, and the faucet was on.
Oh, wow.
The faucet was running water. And that's when I walked up, and I was like, fair enough. You win. It's not the temperature. I get it. And
nice.
that was a trip. Another time, actually, before the even show, we were there doing an investigation. I was actually went on an investigation as a double date, and we started sneaking in. Don't tell anyone, but I broke in.
Okay.
We broke in. We started sneaking around to where, like, they have the for Halloween, they have like the little mazes you can go through. We started going into different levels where you can't go, and it's pretty awesome because
mm-hmm.
there are rooms that you never get to see.
Yeah.
Where you can literally just, I'm not going to say how we got in, but you can get in very easily. And there are like real, no, we're not talking fake, real cobwebs everywhere, grand pianos, elevator chutes that are open that have just been abandoned that no one's gone into for a long time. And we were actually down, a lot of levels down, and all of a sudden we hear... They're down here. We're just like, uh-oh, security.
Oh, no.
Well, the two girls that we're in the middle of an investigation, right?
Yeah.
The two girls, they take off running, and they scream. And we're just like, okay, if we can hear them, they can hear
you. Oh, yeah.
You know? So they come back, and we're sitting there. They walk up, and security guards are there. And I just reach over. I give my girl a hug. I'm like, it's okay. I was like, you're beautiful. Flirt with them.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, do you think you guys could give us a tour since you're down here? Like, and she starts flirting with
yeah.
the guy. And what ended up happening, he goes, hey, crap, you know what? I would give you guys a tour, but here's the deal. The cops are already on their way. They're in front waiting for us to come to grab you. He's like, but what I can do is I'll show you guys the next set out the back way. So we ended up getting out the back
way, nice.
Getting out of Dodge, and it was awesome. That was an exciting investigation. We came up with nothing but a great time.
That was a fun experience. It's funny you mentioned that, because almost the exact same thing happened to myself and some coworkers. We were there, and it was late in the evening, and we're kind of exploring the ship. We were towards the bottom, and actually we were let in by somebody, and I'm sure they're not supposed to do that, but we had some, you know, nice-looking ladies with us as well, so maybe that kind of attributed to our access, I guess. And it was funny because they were actually in the process of setting up for their Halloween haunt, and so we went in through where the pool was at. And then we kind of walked, you know, behind there, and it went down an area of like basically a maze that they had set up for Halloween.
Right.
And they had these mannequins and stuff already set up. But there was some locations as we were walking through the little maze that actually did, you know, drop down into I don't know what, because we weren't prepared. We didn't have flashlights or anything. But that is an amazing location, and it's, you know, we're looking forward to setting something up there. So,
absolutely. If you have any questions, I'd get in contact with Bill. Bill is, I mean, the guru of the Queen Mary. He even has full DVDs that he has for sale in the shop there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, getting back to the show and your investigating style, has being on this show Well, let me see my question. Was your approach to investigating before the show different than it is now? And how has it changed?
100% different. 100%.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Beforehand, it was a hobby. I was going out for fun, just seeing what I could get. Yeah. You know, you get something like, oh, that's cool. Well, you know, maybe it, you know, you just get excited about it. And you still do, except for I'm much more of a skeptic now. Because I feel being under scrutiny and under the view of so many people, we do have the responsibility to actually try and actually bring some validity to the field, you know, which is, as of right now, an undefined science. And with that said, it completely changes how you approach everything because you're no longer out there doing it just for fun. Yeah. Is it fun? Absolutely. It's a blast. But it comes with a lot of responsibility. And instead of getting all excited about it when something happens, you have to really step back. And when you're alone, you're doing it for fun, you can really, if something happens, you can kind of lose yourself in the moment.
Yeah.
You can really just kind of play along, see what happens, and just enjoy it. Well, when you're out there in the field, you kind of have to sit there and go, holy crap, what was that? Wait, hold on, stop. Honestly, what could that have been?
Yeah.
Let's take a reasonable approach to this and then kind of try to take it from an analytical standpoint, more of a scientific base instead of just a, let's let our heart race and the emotions run wild, which is which is completely different.
Yeah. Now, I know all shows have critics, and I'm sure you guys have your critics as well. What are some of the things that they criticize the show on about?
You know, I started reading critics during the first six episodes, seeing all the different reviews online, and
you stopped.
You basically get two types of people that will write. People that either absolutely love you and they think you are the greatest thing since sliced bread, or people that think that you should be shot and not just recasted. You know, so I realized that it wasn't doing me any good reading the reviews. I just kind of stopped because I felt like the small percentage of people that actually blog or get out there and actually do real reviews as far as personal people.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about reviews that are in magazines and all that stuff. All the magazine reviews have been great. Our ratings have been doing really well. Nothing but positivity coming from all of that. But the personal reviews I really don't read and spend time on just because it's not worth it. The masses speak in the form of ratings. And ratings are doing well, which means people are enjoying it, means they're watching it, they're staying tuned in, and they can't wait for more.
Awesome. Now, I have a question regarding some of the episodes that get that don't make the cut, right? And sometimes I'm watching the show, I was like, oh, I wanted them to do that one, or that would have been cool if they would have done that one. Now, do you guys ever have any plans to revisit some of those, or once they're cut, they're gone?
There has been a lot of talk of that, and revisiting really comes down to making sure that we have all the criteria met. And sometimes it's really comes down to, has the clip been more recent than another one? Is one more, is it more important to go on one than the next? Is it going to pair up with another one? Because we can't just do a bunch of ghost episodes in a row. It's like if you have a really good great ghost one, but we have a ghost and a cryptid, we might go do the cryptid one as well because we don't want to just focus on one specific category.
Yeah.
So we really kind of have to split it up that way. But we've actually talked about going back and reviewing some of the more popular ones and even maybe having some contests out there, people kind of voting on which ones they'd like to go back to.
Awesome. Now, I know that Ben's favorite aspect is ufology because we, you know, interviewed him a few months back. What is your favorite type of case to investigate?
Ben is definitely a ufologist. Absolutely. Again, fountain of knowledge when it comes to that. The kid's a Wikipedia of UFOs. I'm going to have to say cryptids, and I would say cryptids because of the fact that I feel it's so close to home and physical, in the sense that ghosts are amazing. I'm a believer and a skeptic at the same time, you know, because I have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I feel cryptids. I mean, we look at, take the sea. Okay. We've only gone down a few atmospheres, and every year they're developing technology to go deeper and map the bottom and finding new species that we never knew existed.
You know,
there are places, like we were in Dartmoor National Forest, okay, over in England, and that's over 1 million square miles of forest. And there are lots of areas back there that man has never touched foot on.
Oh, yeah.
And there are places like that all over the world. And so to kind of think of not even necessarily maybe cross-hybridization, but what's out there that we don't really know? What really could be there? And I know there's theories as far as like Bigfoot or a lot of different cryptids that are out there that are linked to possible UFOs and alien origin. But I'm sitting there thinking specifically on what don't we know about mm-hmm. that's here on our earth with us right now, that's not in another realm, that's not in another dimension, not in a spirit world, if you want to put it that way, or out in outer space. But what is here, yeah. tangible, with us right now that we don't know about? And that, mm-hmm. that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's part of life. We just don't know that it's out there.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's like I can say one of the most scared I've ever been was when we were out in Dartmoor National Forest doing the Beast of Dartmoor. And I mean, earlier in the day, we had a full-grown male lion in a sound room, okay, with a green screen. In this room right now, the studio, it echoes, okay, when
yeah.
we talk.
Yeah.
Imagine having a full-grown male lion roar, okay? It sounds massive.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like thunder. It is loud. Well, we were out there, and as Ben and I are running through the forest, coming up on what we thought was something with eyes, well, it was. It ended up being Dartmoor ponies. We hear this growl that literally made the lion sound like a small cat compared to what we were working with, and that will make your bones shiver because you realize that the government had said out there no big cats exist in the wild out there. The government had made a public statement, so they went out there, looked, found no evidence of any type of cat at all. They do not exist.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden you get out there and you go, no, that's a cat, and it's large, and I'm in its territory at night. That's bad.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, what is your as far as, you know, you said that was one of your more frightening experiences out there on the on location. What, I guess, case do you remember that you just still, there's no explanation for what you guys saw? And I mean, it could be a about anything, but I'm looking particularly for ghosts.
Ghosts. Let's do Florida Theater. Florida Theater, if you watch that episode, it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I believe it was seat 302. We had photographs of what appeared to be a man sitting in the seats. Well, after we kind of did some replication experiments, we felt, well, you could replicate it, but you know, with the history here, we better do an investigation anyway to be sure, because it gets to a point where you do it for so long, you get good at replicating.
Yeah.
Okay. And especially when it comes to computer graphics and having anything at your fingertips, we can pretty much replicate almost anything now. So we can't really just go, oh, we replicated it, it's fake.
Yeah.
We do have to do our due diligence and say, we replicated it, here's possibilities, but let's do an investigation as well and see if we can come up with any evidence of our own. We're out there, and now I have a thermal imager in my hand and I'm walking around. C302 is on the level above the ground level. Well, I'm on the ground and I'm scanning through the seats, I'm not seeing anything. All of a sudden I scan over and I see a heat signature in one of the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So I radio over, and Chilan comes over, and I'm sitting there, and Bill runs over, and I'm walking up like, do you guys see this? And they're like, yeah. So I start walking up to it, and I apologize. I was scanning. I start walking up to it the first time, and as I walk up, I'm looking at it in the monitor, the thermal imager, and as I get about 3 feet from it, it just disappears. It's gone on the thermal imager. And I didn't see anything with my own eyes. So I'm waiting to them. By the time they get there, I'm like, guys, you are not going to believe this. I was like, it's not like it was a residual heat signature of maybe somebody that just sat in a seat, because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And on top of that, a residual heat signature that stayed that bright for so long doesn't just dissipate instantaneously. It fades out, okay? And it was disappeared. So I told them what was going on. I was like, I just was scanning the theater, and as I scanned over again to the left now, it was in another seat. And I'm like, holy, do you guys see that? And everyone just goes crazy, like, oh my gosh, it's insane. So we start walking up to it again, disappears again, gone. Now this time, our minds are blown. We're like, what the heck is going on right now? And all of a sudden, we sit there and go, seat 302.
Yeah.
So I run up to the stage, I turn around and I put it up, and I look over where seat 302 is. Now the whole balcony upstairs, there's hundreds of seats up there.
Yeah.
There was not one heat signature anywhere up there, except for at seat 302, where we went to go investigate the photographs of a apparent man sitting in that seat. We run up the stairs. We get there as fast as we can. We're running over there. We're looking. I get about 20 feet away. I start slowing down a little bit because I want to, you know, proceed with caution, as you may say.
Yeah.
And we're looking at this heat signature in the seat. Now, it's the front row seat until there's a little walkway, and there's railings in front of the seat. Okay, now you can see the heat signature is within the distance between the seat rest and the poles in front of it. It's not like it was just kind of dispersed throughout all of it and you're getting a thing. It was literally confined into that small spot between the seat and the railings, which means it was literally just in that one area. As we get up again, we're sitting there going, and it's gone again.
Wow.
And we're just like, did we really just have something intelligent lead us directly back to the seat again, because as we looked around, there's no more heat signature. You look down there, there's no more heat signature. Well, Bill instantly did an EVP. Didn't really come up with much.
Mm-hmm.
But we were led by something intelligent, because there was no chance of somebody sitting in a seat before and it was hot.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't go from as hot as it was to as cold as it was instantly. And on top of that, it was right next to an open door, which showed that it was very cold, which would have made it cool down faster than normal, but not at that speed, because they all just almost vanished instantaneously.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, and I have another question about the cases that you guys review. Now, and I probably know the answer to this one already. Do you ever find yourself wanting badly to go on cases that the other team is going on?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. I mean, there's some times where, unfortunately, it's just you send who's going to be able to be utilized the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whether I want to or not, and it's vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's also times where you go on cases you don't want to go on. Mm, we had, and then you know what? Sometimes we fight back and forth, and they don't show some of the vicious fights we get in debating these video clips. We just had one where we were doing the other day, and we got full into it. They're sitting there going, no, this is the greatest clip since sliced bread. And I'm sitting there going, are you guys out of your bloody minds? Like, how do you not see this as completely fake? Like, how staged this is, and they're bringing out points of why they think it's real. And we're going back and forth, going at the throats. But they're never going to air that.
Now, are you talking about the other cast members? Or
absolutely. This is full recording, filming, other cast members, and we're going at it.
You know what? That's always good, too, because it's a different perspective. You know, everybody has an opinion to give. You know, like I myself, you know, I'm invested with several different teams. And AJ, you know, AJ Barrera, he happens to be a medium. He's a skeptic. You know, whether I see something, you know, my own eyes, and I'll tag it. And, you know, it was a door slamming or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's always good to have that, you know, that skeptic outlook, or just be open, just to, you know, another opinion, basically.
Absolutely. You know what? The saying goes, two heads are better than one. And you look at a problem and you can't figure out a problem. Well, guess what? A fresh pair of eyes comes at it and they have a whole new perspective. And it definitely keeps everybody in check 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Now, talking about locations. Sorry about that, Ernie. Yeah. Ernie did ask, you know, if you had any locations that you wish you can go to. Is there a location that you have on your mind that's like the holy grail? I wish, you know, I want to go to this location bad.
I think I know why you're hesitating over there.
Why?
Because you probably just did it.
Yes. We just, right? Well, there's a couple of them that we've done that I wanted to go to, and there's a couple that actually I would like to go to that other teammates have just done, and I can't legally say what they are because okay. We just filmed at them. But I will tell you, yeah. I will tell you where I would like to go, because I've had friends that are world travelers that have said some of the scariest things they've seen are over in, like, Thailand.
Oh, really?
Places like Papua New Guinea, where voodoo and witchcraft is a little heavier.
Oh, yeah.
And they've seen some crazy things happen, so I would like to possibly go over there and see what's going on.
Mm. Awesome. Awesome.
Crazy.
Now, and that's and I apologize, that's less of a location-based as far as things that have happened, but more of a cultural standpoint,
yeah.
From a religious point, they believe, and I kind of like to see what you can do when you have a group of people with a specific beliefs all get together, what the conscious can really provide and actually do manifest and put out there, and I think that's great for me. So instead of like a real specific location that I've had specific hauntings or visitations or possibly sightings, it's more of a cultural standpoint and seeing what they believe and the kind of religious and standpoint as black magic kind of happens.
Wow, crazy.
So I do have a question. It's a past episode you guys had. You know, I think it was one of the first seasons or the second season,
sure.
One with the flying witch, La Bruja.
Yes,
that you guys did in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is one that I discussed with Ben Hansen when we did a podcast with him. One of my favorite episodes, because I actually saw that, you know, I saw that clip before you guys went out to investigate it. And it was kind of cool for me to see, you know, somebody go out there and try to debunk it.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this, but looking at the clip, it's you want to really say it's fake. You did. You know, it kind of showed how you could do it. But as I was, you know, saying earlier, one of the things it really comes down to is it kind of aligns to, you know what, we've never done a witch case. We really have to be very diversified in the cases that we do. We can't just keep going out and doing all UFO cases or all ghost cases. We really have to, if you have something new, we have to really capitalize on it and have the ability to do it. And when it came to that case specifically, one of the things that actually didn't air is the gentleman that we interviewed actually claimed also that he had actual evidence or physical proof that it was La Bruja, and he said he had the witch's broom.
Okay.
Well, awesome. And I'm like, okay, well, that'd be kind of cool to go out there and see. That didn't make the cut. You didn't actually see that. We actually got to sit there and analyze this guy. They probably didn't do it because I called him out on it. The guy showed up with it and basically wrapped in saran wrap. Oh, and wow. You could tell it was like hand carvings that he did. And I'm like, and I look at him, I'm like, wait a second. You're telling me you have the one and only witch's broom in the world with magical powers. You won't keep it at your house because you're afraid of what it'll do to your daughter. You'll keep it at your friend's house, and you travel with it in saran wrap like this. And wasn't it like real saran wrap? It was like a plastic bag just kind of wrapped in. I'm like, you would have this thing in a museum. You would have it analyzed. You would have it in a lockbox case. Okay, not just, hey, check out what I got. Look, I just swept my floor with it.
So was it wrapped up because you didn't want to open it up and show it to you guys?
Or? No, it wasn't even really wrapped. It was like if you were to like make a sandwich. Okay, it was just layered. It wasn't doing any protective. It was just kind of like so we didn't have to touch it with his hands, like if you had to put gloves on. But that case specifically, you know, it did have everything that we needed. Mm-hmm. We had a witness that wanted to meet with us. It was a great new location. We had never done a witch before. The cultural standpoint of it was awesome, so mm-hmm. It was something new.
Exactly.
We had the ability to recreate the video, so we had everything that we needed. It was testable. We had a good witness, mm-hmm. and we had a video.
Mm-hmm. And being a Latino myself, you know, I have family, you know, who watches Latino TV, Spanish TV, and I remember we had first seen this clip. It was kind of like on Current Affair when we first saw the clip on the news, and then we're watching, you know, a Spanish station, and we actually saw you guys. Oh, this is the team, Factor Fake, that actually went out and did it, you know, and they actually went out and investigated. So, you know, throughout the media, there was just people were advertising you guys. That's how I got to see the show. Oh, let's watch that episode. We all sat down and saw that episode. We're like, wow, because it was an impressive video that we saw it on the news itself. And, you know, that's how I came across, became a big fan of you guys.
Oh, that's cool. You know, the legend of La Bruja is deeply rooted in the cultures, we found out even more when we went over there.
Right.
And it was awesome to kind of get to experience that culture. I really actually enjoyed that episode. It was a really fun episode, to be honest.
It was awesome.
Now, what was cool when I first started watching the show, I guess the first season, I think your very first case, wasn't it the one about the car that went over through the fence?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Ghost car.
Ghost car. Okay, so when I started watching the show, I was like, well, that's cool because friends were talking about that because they would share it at work on YouTube. You know, in some of these videos, there were viral videos that people were watching and that were actually being reviewed by you guys, you know, a month later, a few weeks later. Now, how important is that now in the show? Do you guys try to find videos that are currently out there and people are watching? Because you also go back to cases that have been around for a long time. You do the Bigfoot, you do, you know, certain UFO cases. How much of the show is important as far as making, you know, having cases on there that are currently, you know, hot, I guess, on video that people are watching?
You know, if it's a very popular case, example, Bigfoot, okay, there is nobody in the world that hasn't heard of some sort of legend of Bigfoot, depending on where you are geographically. Okay, well, now you get a video like that, especially one that's been on the internet for a while, of course, it's going to be much more viral than, say, Jersey Devil and something that just possibly popped up within the last month. So you have now two cryptids. One cryptid is very well known throughout the entire world. It's been on the internet for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you have another cryptid, Jersey Devil, that's really isolated to that geographical area, and it's been only recent. Well, we wouldn't discriminate the Jersey Devil, and because it's only been on recently, just because it's not as viral.
Yeah.
Is it a bonus if it's viral? Yes, yes and no. I mean, it's awesome to do legendary iconic cases. Absolutely. We love to tackle those.
Yeah.
And they are viral because people love them, but at the same time, if you have a case that just came out, it's brand new, it might not have a chance to go viral, but we have to kind of capitalize on that because of the fact that it is so fresh.
Awesome.
Oh, Ramiro, I have to say, we love the Latin community too because they are one of our biggest followers and the biggest viewerships out there. So
are they?
God bless them. Absolutely.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. I mean, to see you guys out there, you guys have JL as well, you know, and I know she's like your bilingual rep that, you know, you guys have going for you guys. And
you know, awesome. What? Yeah. I'll say it. Yeah. Almost the whole team speaks Spanish. Yeah. But what's funny is the way they air it is they'll only let her do it because they would like to keep it as far as, oh, there's our Latin girl, you know?
And, you know, I don't mean to throw Ben under the bus, but the same thing he told us is like, you know, we all speak Spanish, you know, we all try to communicate in Spanish. And, you know, they specifically have her appointed as the Spanish speaking cast member or whatnot.
And you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with that, really, because it gets that kind of out of hand if you have multiple different people speaking different language. You know, you need one really speaking and then going back. If you're doing an interview, you need one person speaking to them back and forth, the other person kind of translating it in English. It really does simplify the whole situation. And plus, you really are – playing into that role. You know, it's like if it's a stunt, we're not going to have Jael go out and do a stunt trying to flip over like in La Bruja. We're not going to have her do that. Why? Because it's not really her role. She's a journalist.
Yeah.
So as a journalist in the interview, more than likely she's going to be the one, especially speaking another language. It makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And I do have one question for you. Just to wrap this up, kind of. When you go to location itself, have you ever found yourself going home or going back to, you know, your either hotel or wherever you guys are staying at, and find yourself, you know, having these nightmares?
Yes.
Or what you feel that you're actually attacked in your dreams by these entities that you guys are out there investigating?
Absolutely. Sometimes you come back and you have nightmares very bad. I came home one time and opened my house door and I thought my dog, you know, and I was like, hey, come here, Dash, come here. And all of a sudden, my dog comes barking down the hallway. I look back over, because I looked over at where the sound came from. I look back over, and it's gone. I'm like, okay, what the was that? You know, another time where I'm sitting there, I have these super bad nightmares, and I wake up, and I don't ever have nightmares.
Right.
And half the time, I don't even dream. No. And I'm just, these nightmares are horrible. I wake up, and I'm sitting there going, all right, this is kind of getting to me. Because I hadn't been home in a couple of weeks. I've been to some super intense locations, you know, kind of some things happened. And then all of a sudden, it was like my girl got in bed next to me and sat down. And literally, the bed just depresses next to me. I just kind of sit there. You get kind of, your hairs kind of stand up and you go, okay, well, it is what it is. I just kind of got up, went and got something to eat and waited till I could go back to bed, because what do you really do?
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Reason why I asked that question, because I mean, it's happened to me, it's happened to a lot of other investigators, and I mean, they have you guys busy. You guys have been around, you know, doing cases internationally and, you know, back and forth, and I could imagine, you know, some of these, you know, not so much attachments, but, you know, like the residual effects that it has after you investigate some locations that are really active, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right. You know, and it makes sense, too, because, you know, they're attracted to people, places, and things, you know? Exactly. And especially if you're going out there and you're trying to communicate with something, well, you're opening up a door, Pandora's box, in essence. So if they have if they do make some sort of communication, they have an attachment to you, why wouldn't they stick with it in hopes of furthering it, like we're trying to do? It's one theory. You never know.
Nice. Well, Austin, can you tell listeners where they can find out more information about the sci-fi show?
Absolutely. If you go to sci-fi.com, you can check out Factor Fake. There's a full website out there with all late clips. We have full episodes there. You can see bios of the team. You can send a clip in if you have one, and please do. You can see some of the kind of extras that we haven't really seen, some of the laughing scenes, some of the extras that we don't get to actually make it on 18 minutes of airing time.
Awesome.
Now, the new season begins, let me just make sure I got the date right, April the 17th, which is on a Tuesday, all new episodes. How many episodes?
You know what? It's coming out 12 this time. They're airing 12, I believe, for the first time. They're doing 12 straight.
12 Congrats. Episodes.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. You know what? I'll say this one real quick, throwing it out there. Sci-fi is getting really excited, because by the time this airs, you will see when does this air? Is it after April 1st?
Well, this will air before April
1st. Before April 1st? Yeah. Scratch that. Get ready. Be excited.
Awesome. Awesome. And just to throw it out there, I was speaking to Ben about this earlier in the week. If everybody's in town, Haunted Orange is going to host a premiere party. Not a premiere party, but what would you say it? A season opener party? Yeah, season opener party. And so if everybody's in town, we will put it out there to our listeners and our fans on our page, and I'm sure you guys will be able to put that out there as well.
Unfortunately, our whole team is scheduled to be overseas.
You guys will still be overseas.
We will still be overseas. But you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and I might get in trouble for it because I don't think it really matters so much. But get ready. Sci-fi is really trying to push this as to one of their number one shows. They have liked us. They say the ratings are doing great. That's because of all the viewership, and you guys are amazing. We have nothing. We have everything to thank. How am I trying to say this? Thank you. It wouldn't be, if it wasn't for you, it's completely because of you. We wouldn't get to do what we love. But they just are getting ready to do one of the biggest ad campaigns they've ever done. They're doing, I mean, everything. I mean, we're going to have billboards up in Times Square in New York, commercials on all different networks. It's going to be a really big deal. So you're going to start to see Factor Faked everywhere. So for those of you who actually followed us before it started to get pushed to mainstream and get big, we love you and thank you.
And for those who haven't seen the episodes, yes, and they'll also catch past episodes on the Sci-Fi website, correct?
Absolutely, you can. Cool. I mean, you can check it out. It's now on demand. It's on Hulu. Any service provider you have, it is on there on demand. It's on Hulu, YouTube. I mean, you name it, Netflix now.
And then what's your favorite episode, just for our viewers and our listening? They might want to, maybe they've never checked you guys out, want to check out one episode. Which one would you recommend, your favorite episode?
Beast of Dartmoor. Check out Beast of Dartmoor. That's the one that hit me the hardest.
Cool. Awesome. And right before we go, I do want to mention that for those diehard fans, not even diehard, Austin and Ben came out with FOF gear. And can you tell us a little bit about that and where the viewers or listeners can go and pick some of that up?
Well, absolutely. One of the biggest complaints we were getting in our personal inboxes and on Facebook and Twitter was people saying, hey, why don't you guys have t-shirts? And we were getting complaints that Sci-Fi wasn't really providing them. So we came out with, you know, Factor Figged. We came out with FOF gear. It's FOF gear. And if you go to FOFGEAR.com, you can see everything. We're revamping the website. We're actually dropping the price even in shirts because we were able to get them produced a little bit cheaper. And we're not doing it for the profit, mostly just for the fans because we wanted to do something to give back.
Great.
Awesome deal.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we hope to have you back again and maybe have both you and Van and maybe some other cast members join us.
Congrats on the new season, man. I know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be huge.
Thank you, Amir.
I've seen the layout of it. I'm a big fan. I've been a fan since, you know, before we, you know, when I first met Ben, and I know you guys are going to make it be huge, man. Trust me.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. This has absolutely been my pleasure. I look forward to it. And if you ever want to have me back, if you think you can handle it, please let me come back.
Let's ask Ernie that first, and then we'll set this up.
I think we can.
Awesome.
Can hack it. Thank you so much, and thank you to our listeners. And we'll leave you with that. Another edition of Haunted Orange County's Paranormal Podcast. For Ernie Alonzo and Ramiro Ramirez of From Beyond. Good evening.